All right, now I'm going to make this statement because it goes right along with what we've been studying, the book of Revelation. What's that all about? Well, it's all about end times, isn't it? It's all about the transition from what we are to what we should be and what we're going to be, you know, the perfection of God. And so I have to say this. The world right now is lining up. The nations of the world are aligning themselves according to what Scripture says. In our country, I hate to be the bearer of gloom and doom, but we're going to be laid aside. Because the Scripture says, all nations will come against Israel. That means we're going to be a part of that. Not us, because we're going to be gone, but this nation is going to be. And listen, it's no longer Republicans against Democrats. That's done. It's now the uniparty of globalism. It's made up of Democrats and Republicans. The uniparty of globalism versus nationalism. Now, I'm not going to tell you who that is because you'll get a frowny face. But you can probably figure it out. That's all about nationalism. And that's the fight for the nation. Are we going to go global with all the other nations? Or are we going to try to stick it out and be our own people? But that's happening now. And it's not that far off. So I have to say that because we're at that time. All right, so let's pray and get on into the Word. Father, I thank You that You gave me the words to speak tonight. Lord, I pray that I will speak them to be pleasing to You and be glorifying to You, Lord, to be edifying to these people that have come out to hear Your Word, to get a good grip on how things are going, how it's going to end up. We all have a pretty good idea anyway. But Lord, help us. Help me to speak and help them to hear so that we can take the message out there and be ready to defend You. Put up the defense of why You are so good to us. And tell people the good news. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're starting with chapter 21. I'm missing something. I have it over there, but I don't have it in this form. And I like to have it in this form. Have it nearby, right? Okay, chapter 21. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Here we go. Now, first let me say this, though. All the sinners, all the demons, the Antichrist, the beast, Satan himself, they're all now in the lake of fire. That happened in chapter 20. They've been put in the lake of fire. Their judgment has come. All right? So if it mentions it now, it's mentioning it in the past tense. They're done. Okay, so keep that in mind while we're going through this. All right, chapter 21, verse 1 through 4. Now, this is John speaking, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, who prepared her as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Amen, right? So, this is Christ. Christ is saying, behold, I will make all things new. New heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, new relationship with God, new bodies, new homes, new service for us. It's all going to be new. In a new mentality about the way we think about Jesus. Amen? It's all going to be new due to God's plan and the obedience of His Son, Jesus Christ. We're back in the garden. That's where we're going. That's heaven's going to be like the Garden of Eden. That's what it was supposed to be like. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. So that's verse 1 through 4. He's coming back, and we're going back in the garden. It's all going to be wonderful. All right? Starting with verse 5, we're going to go down through verse 8. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." So you know who it is, right? Because he just said it. And he said to me, to John, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone," which is the second death. That's the second death. Christ is reiterating his message of hope. How do you get a message of hope out of that? Because he says, if you will drink, if you want to drink the living water, I'll give it to you. Just ask me. There's still hope, right? So he's still giving that message of hope. And he gives it to anyone who reads or hears this book being read in the present age, right now. You see, we're thinking of this, oh, this is in the future. He's saying it in the future. But it's recorded so we can have it for right now. We can use this right now as a tool to go out and win people. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. So then he also has a warning there, doesn't he? He lists all of those that are committing the kinds of things that will just take them out of the lineup for heaven and put them in the line for the lake of fire. So you have to hear both of those messages, okay? So we can use this all the way up to the age of eternity. Christ is saying, if you ask me for life, I will give it. Remember, the millennial kingdom runs right up to eternity. When it ends, eternity begins. So, what am I saying? People that are lost, there'll be lost people in the millennium, they will have right up to eternity to get right with the Lord and get in. Some people say, well, that's not fair. I got in a long time ago. No, it's not about fair. It's about God saving souls. That's what it's about, okay? So, just praise God. Praise God, all right? Now listen, you think that's going to be an easy request. Hold on, Curtis. You think that's going to be an easy request? It will not be easy. Today, as a believer, how bold are you to speak out for the Lord in public? How often do you get that unction to do it, but there's people around, I don't know these people, and you kind of hold back? How comfortable are you to say in public, the Bible, God's Word, doesn't support that? Take a stand, right? Today in the United States of America, how safe do you feel telling someone in public about the love of Jesus? Okay? You got to overcome any fear. Jesus, what did Jesus say? Fear not. Do not fear. I'll be with you. So that's what you need to do. Okay? Even though the oppositional mindset against Christ through the tribulation at the end of the millennium is unimaginable. We've been there 1,000 years and there's people that still don't get the message of the gospel. They're still choosing to deny Jesus. Unimaginable, but it's true. Christ is still saying, come, come. Yes, the millennium will be a time for great evangelistic opportunity. There'll be a lot of lost people there. They don't want Jesus. But Christ is full of grace and mercy, and the reward will be great if they accept Him, right? Eternal life. Eternal life. Unfortunately, those of verse 8 will reap what they've sown. Okay? Nothing you can do about that. Curtis? Right. That's right. That's right. So how do you overcome? You trust Jesus. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Especially for those who've already done it. That's a simple thing. Just trust Jesus. Jim and I, Randy and I were talking before the service tonight. Some people say they believe, but they don't live like it. Give God a reason to believe that, you know, you are trusting Him. Step out on that faith. Open your mouth and give the gospel when you get a shot at it. Right? Do it in love. Do it in friendship. Do it in kindness. See if you can get them to receive it, right? That's what God wants. But the opportunity is there. It wouldn't say this in the Bible if God wasn't giving the opportunity right up to the very end. Amen?
Amen.
All right, go to verse 9. We're going to go from 9 down through 13. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy city of Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates. And the 12 gates, at the gates, and the 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, and 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Amen?
Amen.
It's going to be a beautiful place. We can't even imagine how beautiful it's going to be. Well, an angel transports John up to a very high mountain to give him a perfect vantage point where he witnesses the descent of the new Jerusalem out of heaven. You know, Jesus has been up there preparing that. That's what he's working on. You know, forget about that old shack you've been thinking about he's working on up there. No, he's working on a beautiful diamond-studded gold. It's not even gold-plated. It's solid gold. What he does with it, right? That's what he's building for us is up there. Now, you know what that is, though? The city is not the bride. You got that right? He's going to show him the bride, but what's the first thing he does? Tells him about the city. Why is he telling him about the city first? That's her wedding garment. That's our wedding garment. That's what we are in. We're coming down from heaven, and we're encapsulated in this beautiful new city. Just like a bride would be in a beautiful new wedding dress, right? That's what he's doing. He's showing that. He's showing the adornment of the bride of Christ, that it is the new Jerusalem. The city is like the wedding dress the bride is wearing, gifted by God. That's God's gift to the bride. Glowing with the glory of God, adorning the bride of Christ, His church, living within the fullness of God. That's how we'll be. We'll be in the fullness of God at that point. We won't even give a thought to things in the past. We'll be so amazed and awed with what we're involved in there. His church, living within the fullness of God, with the bride and the city. We'll be living with each other and this city. Now, I don't think we'll be trapped there. I think we'll have freedom to come and go some, right? Because this is coming down out of heaven. The new city's coming down out of heaven. It's not yet on earth, but yet there's a brand new earth. God swept the old stuff away in chapter 20. Now it's all brand new. Praise God, it's all brand new. So, it's descending from heaven to be established in Christ's brand new world. And it's not just the world, it's the universe. It's the whole thing. It's all brand new. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to verse 14. I'm going to go all the way down through 21. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. One side, 12,000 furlongs. Okay? You got that picture? Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second was sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth is sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprase, the 11th, jacinth, and the 12th, amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold. These are the engineering specifications, the dimensions of the New Jerusalem. Which guarantee, have you ever wondered about this? Is there going to be room for everybody up there? This guarantees it. 12,000 furlongs is equal to approximately 1,500 miles. 1,500 miles. Each side's height and length is the distance from Tampa, Florida. If you could fly due north, you'd end up in Duluth, Minnesota, on the west end of Lake Superior. That's just one side. Now, when you put that square together, it's going to take up a huge part. If it was sitting in the United States, which it won't be, it would take up a huge part of the country, wouldn't it? Yes, it would. The volume of the cube, right? The inside volume of the cube. Are you ready? 3,375,000,000 cubic miles. Not feet, miles. Now listen, I didn't figure it out. I had to stop. I kind of got carried away a little bit and I had to just say, stop. But you think, if you had an apartment in the city, the New Jerusalem, how big would that apartment be? Oh, let's just say 20 by 20. Let's give it a 20 by 20 by 10 feet high, okay? So that's what, 400 square feet? 400 cubic feet? Okay, so now you have to divide 3,375,000,000 by that number to get how many of those apartments you could get in the city. I think there'll be enough, personally. And it's going to be unimaginably gorgeous to look at. When it talks about this gold, It's not like gold on earth. Gold on earth, you see a reflection. This gold is so pure, you don't see a reflection. It looks like clear. It looks like you're looking through it. And the walls they're talking about being made of jasper in the city, jasper is diamond. The walls in the city are going to be made out of diamond. And guess what? None of that cloudy stuff that you buy in some store. Oh, nothing like that. No, crystal clear. You could stand on the outside of the wall and look through it, see people, probably. It's going to be fantastic. Hard for us to even imagine. Let's go to verse 22. And I'm going to go all the way down through 27. John says, "But I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it." The Lamb is its light. "And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gate shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it," into the city. "But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." Your name is there. Your name is there. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Now I'm going to talk about the nations first. It's kind of out of order according to what we read. But I want to focus on the nations first because, you know, when you read that, kings and nations, what's your first thought? There's going to be kings and nations? I thought we were done with all that, right? Nations will be formed much in the same way that God assigned the groups of workers to create the wilderness tabernacle of God. What does that mean? It means people with similar skills. I always have trouble saying that word. I sound like a hick. Skills. Right? But people that have the same kind of talents and skills will be working together. God will assign them to do things. I mean, you didn't really think we were just going to be sitting up, kicked back on a cloud, you know, doing nothing, right? That's not true. Okay, God's got stuff for you to do up there. So He's going to form these, you know, it'll start out like a work crew. But guess, you know, there'll be so many people there, it'll end up being a huge group of people. And you know, when you get a huge group of people together, you got to have a leader. Otherwise, they wander around, you know, think, well, what do you want me to do? What are we going to do? You got something we can do? We want to do something. What are we going to do? Oh, there's going to be leaders, right? So, common interests and skills will shape nations based on how individuals approach bringing glory to God. Now, you know you're going to bring glory to God in heaven because you know you're going to be praising God. But you're not just going to be praising Him with your voice. You're going to be praising Him with your talents and things you can do, right? That's what this is all about. And so He's going to send you out there and you're going to be part of that. Kings will be identified and placed like God, kind of like God placed King David. Got a job to do. Got to have somebody lead this thing. So I'm going to appoint you. Yes, God will appoint the kings, not the people. All right? Now, if you want to know how that works out, just look at what, you know, King Saul compared to King David, right? We get that example already. So God is going to appoint the leaders. That way, guess what? There'll be no discontentment. There'll be no dissent. Why? Because God chose them, but there's another reason too. You know what the other reason is? We'll no longer have those fleshly desires of recognition. We won't care about that. We just want to pitch in and help glorify God. So in heaven, God and Christ are the temple. And we're worshiping. They are there with us while we're worshiping. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Because they are there, the city exudes the Shekinah glory of God. You know about the Shekinah glory of God? Knocked Saul flat on his face on the road to Damascus. God told Moses, you can't look at me straight on in my glory, so I'll just let you have a peek at the back of me. Otherwise, you won't survive it, right? So we won't have this fleshly body anymore. We won't be caring about who did what and why didn't I get to do it and this. And I heard a preacher the other day preaching about it. He said, you know what? When you're in heaven, you won't even think about what you look like or what you're doing or what kind of clothes you got on or who said what. You won't think about any of that. You'll just be focused on glorifying God. Amen?
Amen.
And in heaven, we will be in our heavenly bodies, right? Now on earth, Paul, Moses, they couldn't look at God in their earthly bodies, could they? But we won't be in an earthly body. We'll be in our heavenly, eternal body. And guess what? We'll be able to look right on it. And we'll be safe. Our eyes can see it and take it all in, and we won't be harmed one bit. Yes, hallelujah. We'll get to see all of that stuff, right? So, we'll be in our heavenly bodies able to look at His glory. No matter what, heaven is being with Christ.
Hallelujah.
I don't care where He is, heaven is being with Him. If there wasn't anything else there, that would be heaven enough. Amen?
Amen?
A place of peace, joy, and the feeling of self-fulfillment. Because we're doing things to serve and glorify our King and our God. Oh, we will be so satisfied. Can't even describe it. That's the end of chapter 21. If you want to go into, you know, what all those stones and colors and all that stuff means, you can do that. Many have, but you have to try to line it up with things that are kind of presumptuous. So we're not going to do that. Now we're going on to chapter 22, the last chapter. Wrapping it up tonight. Verse 1, chapter 22. This is the angel. No, I guess it would be the Lord. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. I think it's the angel showing this to him. In the middle of the street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. Did y'all know you were living under the curse? There'll be no more curse. That'll be over with. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, in the city. And His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, no light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Yes, amen. Praise God. So John is continuing his description of the city of the New Jerusalem, describing its characteristics and purposes. But there's something here you got to realize. You must realize that the tree of life represents Jesus Christ. It represents Him. That's why they had to be cut off in the garden. God had to take them out, because once they sinned, if they still had access to the tree of life, they could live on as sinners forever and ever. So that way He ended that. But now they're in perfection, their body. It's a godly, heavenly body. So we don't have to worry about that anymore. Now we are with Jesus. And just as He is the source of the living water. You know He's the source of the living water, right? I mean, there's where's that water coming from? It's coming from Him. It just comes from Him. It's perfect living water. It's not like earthly water. It's just so pure because it's coming straight from Him. He is the source of life, the tree of life. Can you agree with me on that? Jesus is the source of life. He provides what we need for life. Matthew Henry's concise commentary gives a clear explanation of the leaves for healing. Because you know what? When I read that, and maybe you thought it too, I don't know. Leaves for healing, why are we going to need healing? Are we going to have bumps and bruises and cuts? Are we going to have accidents and have, you know, need healing? What, I thought this was heaven. Why are we going to need leaves for healing? So that kind of threw me for a little bit. So I researched it out, and this was the best explanation I could find. He says, think of Jesus as the tree of life. I kind of lost my place here. Oh, here we go. Matthew Henry, he says this, this tree was an emblem of Christ and of all the blessings of His salvation. And the leaves for the healing of the nations mean that His favor and presence supply all good to the inhabitants of that blessed world. You know what that's saying? The blessings of God are not over. Just because you've reached that final destination, the blessings aren't over. He's still going to be blessing you. You're still going to have these leaves from the tree of life. I don't know how it's going to work, but I know I want to be there to see it and to experience it. It'll be wonderful. Verse 6. Then He said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show His servants the things which must shortly take place. The God of His prophets gave this word. What is that saying? The God that gave all the prophets that we've studied in the Old Testament and gave the words to the apostles in the New Testament to spread the gospel, that God, that same God, is giving this word. Can you trust it? Can you be sure of it?
Absolutely.
Because you have a whole Bible of examples, and you can trust it. John was told to record God's word. These things will happen. No doubt about it. God said it. It doesn't matter who believes it and who doesn't. That's beside the point. God said it's going to happen. It's going to happen this way. And that's exactly what's going to happen. God has spoken. You can say amen right there if you want to. And then verse 7. He says, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Christ is saying, listen, when I arrive, these things will happen rapidly. What I'm telling you is going to happen. It's not going to be a slow process. It's going to be bang, 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 and it's going to happen. So you better be ready. Keep the words of the prophecy of this book. If you want to be blessed, remember what I've said here. That's what Jesus is telling. Remember these words. Practice them. Do what I'm telling you. And choose to be mine. My coming is imminent. It's definitely going to happen. Now listen, he's just not speaking to John there. He's speaking to whoever reads or hears this book. These words of God. That's who he's talking to. Be ready. Because it's going to happen fast. Oh, it took 1,000 years to get to that point after tribulation. But I got a feeling that's going to go by real fast. Verse 8. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. John is testifying that these things are true. I saw them personally. I didn't hear it from somebody. I saw it. I witnessed it. I'm writing it down so you can have it. So what happens? You've heard of spontaneous worship? That's what happened to John. He fell out. He went into spontaneous worship. And the angel's like, what? Don't do that. You can't do that here. You're not supposed to worship like that. So he stops him. But John has given the testimony. Verse 9. Then the angel said to me, he said to me, see that you do not do that. For I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book. For the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. Angels, prophets, and those who keep these words are our fellow servants. After all, they brought us the Word of God. He gave it to them. The Holy Spirit gave it to them. They got it written down and started spreading the word. They're our fellow servants. And they are ordered. We are ordered to worship God and no other. No other thing. No other person. Nothing but God. That's it. The angel is saying, it's time for all to hear this book. Don't seal it, John. The Lord wants everybody to be exposed to this. Everybody that can be exposed to it, do it. Don't seal it up. Because why? The time's at hand. There's no more time to think about it. You better take the examples, and we better be given the examples so they can believe. Amen? God knows there will be believers and non-believers. He knows that. He knows they're not all going to get saved. In His mercy, He is giving another opportunity to them to decide for Him. Even though the hour is late, it's almost up. But He gives them a last opportunity. Verse 12, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I want you to notice that work is singular there. There's no plural form there. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. When Jesus appears, He will suddenly appear and act swiftly. It's going to happen quickly. It'll be kind of like the rapture. Right? Kind of like that. He's going to suddenly appear and act swiftly. It will be nearly impossible for humanity to decide at that point to trust Him as Savior. The only way that's going to happen is if they've been processing this in their mind all along. They've been seeing things, hearing things, what's happening, and they've been processing that. And finally they realize this is it. It's now or never. But if you have to stop and think about it, you might not make it. That's why we need to encourage all that we can to consider Jesus and decide in His favor. We need to ask people, have you read the Bible? Do you know anything about Jesus? You use His name all the time, but that's okay. He forgives you for that. Know Him. Verse 14. Blessed are those who do His commandments. Is that new information? No. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Look, there's only two classes of people. You're either in or you're not. There's no middle of the road. There's no riding the fence. It's too late for that. The blessed are those who are doing the essential commandments. You know the essential commandments, don't you? Love the Lord your God with everything you are. I'm paraphrasing. Your mind, soul, body, spirit, everything you are, give it to Christ. Love Him with everything. Obey Him with everything. And the other one is kind of like that, isn't it? Love your neighbor as yourself. What did Jesus say? If you do those two things, you cover it all. You can do your own self-check. I'm sure you do already. We must do this. We are the called. You understand that, right? We are His body on earth at this time. That's the challenge. That's the challenge. Because the alternative is, if we don't, the lost are going to be lost forever. The lost are all the others not doing this. They're not going to get in. Is that okay? No. Then we got to put feet onto our ideas and onto the gospel and get out there and give it. Verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. This is Christ validating His message and who He is and giving a personal testimony. I am the one. If you haven't figured that out by now, I don't know. Must have your head buried in the sand. But it's a last opportunity. It's Him saying, I'm the one to trust. It's true. You trust Me, and I'll save you. Verse 17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. I won't hold you back. That's what Jesus is saying. You want to come? Come on. Now this verse applies to the time of the end of the millennium and the beginning of eternity. We're right at that threshold. One's ending, one's going to open up. This is the Holy Spirit in the church. Calling the lost to come. They're calling Jesus to put an end to the unbelief, the end of Satan. Now we're speaking in the past tense. We know what's happened to Satan, don't we? In current time, a final plea for the unsaved, up to the end of the end. Or you could turn it around and be positive and say the beginning of the beginning. He's calling them to trust God, trust Jesus. Amen? It's the same call. It's the same call. Looking for the same response. Faith. Faith and trust. Verse 18 and 19. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in the book. That's some pretty serious judgment. You were doing so well, and then all of a sudden at the end you goofed up. Listen, it's not just a goof up. It's something a person got in their mind. They were influenced by the enemy and got it in their mind that they were going to do something that didn't match this. That's what it's talking about. It's not the person that just makes a mistake. No, you have to think about this to actually do it. Because what it's really saying is, if one replaces words in this book to change its meaning, or if one holds back the truth of this book, they will receive maximum judgment. So it's not just an accident. There was some planning involved. There was some thinking involved. Stinking thinking for sure, but thinking. Essentially it's saying, do not deny the truth of this prophecy. It's God's word. Amen. And you could actually add, it's God's final word. Verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Jesus emphasizes with this reiteration that his coming is definite and will be swift. Make a decision before it's too late, before you see me again on earth. God, let it happen as you say. Lord, your will be done. That's what that last sentence is. Even so, amen, even so, come Lord Jesus. This is what you want, do it. It's your will, not ours. But then he reminds you of grace. Grace. God's grace. Jesus Christ, God's grace. The tree of life, God's grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. Belong to Christ. Be saved. That's what our message should be. Belong to Christ. Be saved. God's will be done. That's what amen means. God's will be done. Let it be done according to God's word. So now you can go out and you can find people that need to hear the gospel. Keep it easy. Keep it sweet. You know God loves you. He loves you. He's not doing all this bad stuff. That's somebody else. That's the enemy. No, God loves you. You can turn to Him. He will help you. You want to talk about it some more? Yeah, come on. We'll talk about it some more. Oh, you're too busy now? Okay. But listen, here's my phone number. You call me. It doesn't have to be hard. Just show them love. That's what they want. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Do you have anything you want to say, Curtis?
Yeah.
Haven't decided that yet.
Yeah,
I'm going fishing next. That's what I'm doing.
You deserve it.
Boy, I tell you, God's Word is beautiful. And it's honest and truthful. It's wonderful.
Magnificent.
Yep. Stay in it. Stay in it. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, You have indeed blessed us with Your Word. It's been such a pleasure to sit and talk and think about Your Word, Lord, and see what You have in there for us, letting us know the beautiful thing that's coming. We can't even imagine what it's going to be like. We'll be awestruck when we see it, I'm sure. But Lord, with that, You remind us there's a job to be done. There's souls to be won. So by Your Holy Spirit, Lord, help us to take the knowledge we now have and use it for Your glory. That in the day of salvation, in the day of judgment, in that day, souls can stand up and say, I chose You, Jesus. I am saved because of You. Because someone took a moment to tell me about Your love and Your mercy. Help us, oh God, help us to be outspoken for You. The time is growing short. We know it. We can see the signs. So we're asking You to give us that holy unction, the Holy Spirit, motivate us to do it. And we will give You the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.